Megan Crapaud writes for the Chicago Tribune, again with Jason Meisner, about the Jussie Smollett story. They're taking a break today, right? No action in the courtroom today, Megan?
That's right. The judge has been having a really long hours. I think court broke last night around 8 p.m. So having the day off, I think everyone probably appreciates it. We're back Monday.
Sounds like that's probably good, not just for, say, the journalists or whomever, but the all three parties, the prosecution, the defense, and the judge, were getting very angry at each other yesterday. At least it sounds like that.
I mean, there are definitely some tense moments, right? And I think in a high-profile trial, probably everyone's feeling the pressure.
So what happened yesterday?
Well, I think probably the most prominent kind of chaotic and tense and frustrating moment was a little interlude where basically while the defense was cross-examining one of the state's key witnesses, trying to establish that this witness had homophobic tendencies, going through his old texts and messages, that kind of thing, the judge was trying to hustle along the defense attorney, saying that she was getting into some collateral matter. She called for a sidebar. They had a brief sidebar. The judge then sent the jury out of the room. That same defense attorney went up and asked for a mistrial, not only because she said the judge in front of the jury called one of the defense's main points collateral, but also she said that he lunged at her during the sidebar, like made a physical movement toward her. And that kind of, that's a pretty serious allegation, right? The judge seemed furious. He denied it. Everyone was talking over each other. It got pretty intense.
Judge James Lynn, so the defense attorney for Jussie Smollett said that the judge lunged at her?
Right. Now, I should say, I did not see any of this. From my vantage point in the courtroom, I could not see the sidebar. I can't vouch for what either side is saying. I didn't see it with my own eyes. But she was very clear on the record saying, you lunged at me, you made a physical movement toward me, and the judge strenuously denied it. Another defense attorney also put on the record saying, hey, judge, you know, you're pulling these faces, you're kind of snarling when you grant prosecutors objections. We don't like that. The jury can see your face when you do this.
You know, one thing we learned from the Rittenhouse trial was that the cooperation of, or, you know, you don't want to tick off the judge. And I wonder what the thinking is behind the Smollett team, if they think taking on the judge this way is going to help them. I can't imagine that this is a good strategy.
You know, I am not a lawyer, but I spend a lot of time around lawyers. I would say perhaps what they're trying to do, and specifically putting this stuff on the record, it will be in the transcript, you know, that will live forever. It's something that they might be able to bring up on appeal, right? This will be preserved, as the attorneys say.
Or maybe it's all just theatrics. Maybe it's all just theatrics, and they know it's an uphill climb. Jussie's going to be found. Here's one scenario. We know Jussie's going to be found guilty. He ain't going to go to jail. He's going to pay some money, but at least he'll always be able to
point to the record. Hey, listen, you never know. John, we talked about this yesterday. You ought to know better than to predict anything about how this particular case will go. There have been, no one could have guessed almost anything throughout this whole thing.
So yesterday the defense was making their case. Now, first the prosecution and the defense could cross. Now the defense is making their claims, and they're claiming that one of the brothers had a crush on, or maybe even a relationship with, Jussie Smollett. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, so this came out in cross-examination of Abimbola Osundairo, who is one of the state's key witnesses. Him and his brother told police and prosecutors that Smollett recruited them to help stage this fake attack. So on cross-examination, the defense attorney goes up to Abimbola and basically says, so when did you and Jussie start dating? He denies that they dated. He denies any kind of sexual tension. He denies that there was any evidence, you know, Smollett had a crush on him, anything like that. Kind of, you know, I think the message they were trying to get across is this argument that you know, this straight man on the Empire set, bodybuilder, good-looking guy, was kind of stringing Smollett along, taking advantage of him to try to further his career.
Well, will Smollett take the stand? And if he does, if the brother is denying it, Jussie then presumably is going to say, no, there was sexual tension between us. We did have a relationship. Is he going to testify to that?
Well, I mean, he could if he chooses to take the stand, right? I mean, I think that's a big outstanding question as we go into the weekend. Is he going to get up there and testify about how this happened in his own words, in his own view? And I think, like we said all along, there's not really a whole ton of, like, really hard smoking gun evidence, right? I mean, the planning of this alleged attack all happened face-to-face or over the phone, right? Not in text messages, anything like that. A lot of this, if Smollett testifies, will end up as sort of a credibility contest. Do jurors find him more credible, or do they find the brothers more credible? And they can account for the demeanor of these witnesses. They can account for any potential biases they might come in with. They can take into account all of the sort of circumstantial, the other supporting evidence that each side brings in apart from the testimony.
I just have about 30 seconds here, Megan, but you write in the paper today with Jason that Dr. Robert Torelli from Northwestern Memorial Hospital testified that Jussie did suffer injuries, redness to the neck where the alleged noose or the noose allegedly was put, and scratches on his cheeks, that they were real, and that Smollett underwent x-rays and a CT scan. They were able to treat him with aspirin, though. So however severe his injuries were, at least a doctor did testify that Jussie did have corroborating injuries, right?
Right. I mean, the jurors saw pictures of Smollett's face and neck. You know, you could see kind of scrapes and bruises on his face. The doctor testified, look, these were not fake injuries on his face and on his neck. He also said that any of the CT scans and x-rays showed up essentially with no major traumatic injuries to his body, no broken bones, no concussion or bleeding or fractures.
Okay, let's leave it there today. We'll connect again next week. What an interesting job you have, Megan.
That's for sure. Thank you so much for having me.
The likes of these.